I am unashamed. What about you?
So, Dad, we haven't asked you. You normally you have some ailments or different things that have happened to you, but we haven't heard any. Have you had any recent attacks?
Yeah, I'm sitting there yesterday morning after the podcast in my favorite chair and taking a breather from pontificating with you two. So right below my kneecap, I notice a kind of a searing pain from time to time over the last month. So I looked down at, I put my britcher leg up, and I looked down and I said, what is that keeps like a knife sticking in me? Well, I looked and I saw right below my kneecap, I saw a little round piece of skin. I thought, what is that?
A round piece of skin.
It was round.
Swollen?
Kind of puffed up a little bit.
Red?
But not red. Not none of that.
It was like a cyst.
Yeah. So I looked at that and I said, well, it's kind of looks like a small volcano. I said, let's just clear the top off of this thing. And I reached down my fingernail and I pulled and out came the top of the little volcano there right below my kneecap. Well, when that piece was removed, I looked in there and I saw something dark black.
Oh.
Dark black down in that hole because it kind of like
was it moving?
It was just sitting there. So I thought, huh. I reached over. I keep a bottle of alcohol within arm's reach. An AR-15 over here and alcohol right here.
Rubbing alcohol.
Germ killer. So I took that.
I thought you were getting a bottle of whiskey or something. No,
take a shot. He's been watching a lot of Gunsmoke.
No, this was Isoprocol, whatever they call it, alcohol. So I looked. I took both of my fingers and I put a little dab of alcohol. It burned a little. And I took both of my fingers and I squeezed on both sides. I said, let's just see if there's something hung up in there. So when I squeezed, out jumped a quarter of an inch long thorn.
Oh, well, at least it was and not.
I thought he was going to say like a
up,
bug
and
or something.
Still there was, it was still in there, but it was about a quarter inch showing. So wow. I thought, good night. A
quarter inch.
So I reached down there and I just grabbed the top of that thorn. I pulled it out. I said, I cannot believe I've been carrying this thorn around. I don't know when I got it, but that thing had just hit and broke off and it healed. It's over. But, you know, the thorn was still there. So I just pressed on both sides. It popped out. I pulled it. I opened my trash can there. I said, man, no wonder that thing was. I dropped the old thorn over in the, you know, put a little alcohol on it. Rock on.
So unlike the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, the thorn in your flesh, you extracted.
Was a real thorn that I got it out of there.
That's right.
Now, I don't know whether he had a literal thorn.
He prayed three times for the Lord to remove his thorn in the flesh, but Jesus said, nope.
When you walk through what I walk through on a steady basis, there's a lot of thorn, as you know. I mean, you know, locust thorn trees and just big thorn bushes. I mean, little haw trees with, you know, mayhaws. They got thorns on the limbs.
Oh, yeah, bad ones.
Oh, there's limbs. There's thorns everywhere you walk.
Well, I told you about that time I jumped for
that's one of hundreds that I've removed from my body from time to time. Used to in the old days, you know, walking 10 miles and, you know, just going 22 years old. I mean,
I can remember Mom when you were really young, and Jace probably didn't remember this. At night after you squirrel hunted, she would put a big light down there on your feet. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
And then she would just, she had tweezers and a needle.
Yep.
And she was pulling thorns out of your feet for like an hour.
Yep.
Out of the bottom of your feet. I remember that.
They'll finally fester up like that one did, and they'll eventually come out. But that one there just.
It is painful.
That was a gory, creepy story. Yeah. I thought it was going to be some kind of alien.
Well, that was an animal.
It was an alien. It was a foreign object. But
I thought it was something alive.
Nah, just a
thorn. I told y'all that story before where I went to get a frog, and I was going to jump. But when I went, like, mid-flight, there was a snake on the backside of the frog. So I just like veered left because I didn't know if it was poison in that
moment.
Yeah, in the moment. But when I hit the bank, I rolled and there was one of those old trees with the blue and red thorn, and a thorn went behind my ear.
Ooh.
And it, but it was actually, it made me nauseated, and I wasn't sure if it was toxic, and but it took me a couple months to get over it. I mean, the whole side of my head swelled up, but it was like a, wasn't like it was a
Did it
little,
break off in little, there or little, just puncture you?
It punctured me. The tip broke off when I got the tip out when the recovery started.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it swallowed up half side of my head because I still had that thorn in there, but I didn't know if those things were toxic or what because it was a weird experience, you know.
It's just a foreign object inside your skin, and you know.
Well, I remember we were playing dominoes down at Grand and Paul's, and Dad came in. He'd been someplace, and you said, "Ma, I got something in my eye, and right in the corner of my eye. I need you to, you know, pull it out of there, a stick or something." And so I remember there was that little bathroom right there off the main room. So yep. You were looking in the mirror, and you could see it was a black speck right
the end of it
in the corner of your eye. And she got in there with a pair of tweezers, and she started coming out.
It's making me nauseous.
Look, that thing was over an inch long.
When
she started coming out, I just remember all of us were looking, and our eyes.
Mama's words were good grief.
That's right. But you never want to hear that, by the way.
By the way, the next morning I got up, and my eye was bloodshot, like just bloodshot. And it took a couple of weeks that to heal up.
That's probably why
you've
had so many
swatted
eyes.
Me. The boat pushed the limb. The limb swatted me in the face. It could have blinded me too.
Easy. Yeah.
And it went in there and it broke off. And I just turned around and went straight to the house. I said, something ain't right here.
I've got that number one on the list as most frustrating things that can happen to you in life is a limb swat.
Oh,
especially
hurts.
In the wintertime.
It hurts so bad.
It makes you angry.
Oh, I get mad.
It's
like, I usually just get down and cover up because we're going through.
I got to now. Now I wear shades at all times in thickets.
Well, yeah,
you should have been wearing protective eye stuff your whole life.
No
really.
Doubt.
Well, and it's funny because Granny was always, you know, she was never a nurse, but she wasn't. In other words, she could do anything.
She was a licensed nurse,
right?
Was it? But
she
family.
Did
one of them mail deal, mail order.
She was a mail order nurse.
Mail order nurse.
What does that mean?
She did all of her schooling via the mail. They'd send it to you. No computers in them days.
Oh, I thought you meant they send a request.
They mailed her questions
like
on this
bride.
Topic and, you know, blood, whatever, for a nurse. But she finally got a degree, a nursing degree.
Well, I knew she worked for a doctor, but because it was kind of back in the day when the doctor was at his house, like,
yeah.
Right? Like, it was just kind of his clinic.
Most time house or just clinic.
Right.
But you'd go in there, but
What was his name, Dr. Pardee?
$1 per visit.
Dr. Pardee.
You'd walk in, no matter, they'd say, okay, yeah, he needs about 8 or 10 stitches, Merritt. Tell my mama. She said, well, sew him up. So they'd sew you up, you know, and
it cost $1?
And mama would say, how much owe you, Dr. Pardee? And he said, about $1. So she'd get out $1 and give it to him. We'd walk out the door.
What was this, 1700?
No.
No, but they lived like it was
1953 or something.
Were you born in a house?
I was born in a clinic.
In a clinic. Dr. Pardee's clinic.
But I was the first generation.
For $1.
That were born in clinics. The ones, you know, like Jimmy Frank and them, the older boys, they just midwives, somebody come up there, kinfolks, you know, ain't. Oh, yeah, time for her to have that baby. So they'd go back in there, and here comes the baby. But I was the first generation to say, let's at least take them to a clinic.
And Granny was like a midwife, I guess,
yep.
Kind of a.
Yep, oh, yeah.
So I just got an email, Dad, I forgot to tell you. I don't know why I thought about it just now, but the guy that used to be the preacher when y'all were growing up, Ken Cochran, he just passed away.
Yep.
A few months ago, but he was over 100 years old. You know
101.
Yeah, 101.
He killed a deer this past fall, and he was over 100 years old.
Wow.
Still deer hunting.
That's amazing.
He was a big hunter. But
And if they would come over and eat, right? I always heard the story, and he got the preacher meat, right? He got the first pick of the chicken.
When you saw him coming, he said, Ma, get another chicken to fight.
I met his son over in Shreveport. His son is over in Bossier area, but I don't know what made me think about it. About that in the time.
He had a son about my age.
Yeah, yeah.
Kenny.
He's an elder.
But he was a good, strong brother, Ken Cochran was.
Yeah.
But he made it a long time, 101.
It's pretty amazing. We're all getting old, Jay.
I have no comment on that. I'm still thinking about how this doctor visit costs a dollar. Trust me, inflation has happened.
He wasn't doing it for the money.
Oh, well, you left that part out. I thought it cost a dollar.
If you looked at health care in the 1950s, 90% of the things that people are being treated for now via, they've gone nuts on antibiotics.
Yeah.
Back in those days, you didn't go up there and say, I got one here that's coughing, give him some antibiotics. Never. Yeah. You took them up there if you said, well, they're fixing to die unless I take them. And the doctor would look at them. But I never heard of anything over a dollar. They charge a dollar.
I bet there was no health insurance back then.
No health, no insurance of any kind.
Insurance is what's ruined it. Because I'm telling you,
the thing that doesn't support your thesis is the average life expectancy now is longer than it was back then.
It seemed to me that the older people were getting 85, 90, 90s. No, a lot of them.
No, but I'm saying people live longer now.
Well, that's what they say, but
Dad ain't buying it.
He ain't buying it.
Now, the problem is,
no matter what happens, you could have something you didn't have. Well, give him some antibiotic. I asked these doctors in the last 20 years, I said, be honest. I mean, do y'all dispense too many antibiotics, or am I dreaming? They said, we dispense too many. Doctors themselves will tell you.
Well, they've been
over-dispensing
them to you because
Dad ain't taking them.
No.
So, but here's the real problem.
There is such a thing as having a better immune system if you don't rely on antibiotics. I've just seen it. You cough, you got a sore throat, okay, you go to the doctor. And he'll say, you'll feel better in a few days. So it takes about a week to get over it. If you do nothing, stay at home, whatever, you know, get your rest, it'll be about 7 days. It's the same length of time for whatever you got, whether you go to a doctor or not. That's the way it used to be in the old days.
Right.
But now, for clarification, Phil, you don't use antibiotics. You don't use deadening. Well, help me out here. You don't do
use anything except omega.
When they put people,
I said,
under,
how long is it going to take to feel this tooth? You know, back years ago when I was working on the teeth, and I said, how long does it take, you know, for you to get done with it? He said, a couple of minutes. I said, I can stand anything for a couple of minutes. Do what you got to do.
On record,
keep the needle out of my mouth.
You're the only human, I believe, on record that had a urinalysis done.
With no deadening.
With not being put under.
Yeah.
What's the
Guy said
the
it'd be a lot
that?
Quicker if I just go right up the pipe, is the way he put it. And I said, right up the pipe. Stop right there and explain to me that a little more in detail. Well, he explained it in detail. I said, how big is that device with the camera on the end? How big is that camera?
Too big.
No, he said, it's a small camera.
I said,
if you want to watch it,
the pipe.
You don't have to be put to sleep. I said, I want to watch. I want to see what's up in there. So
but tell the truth.
He said, there's your.
Tell the truth.
Once it started,
gland that goes south?
It's the prostate.
Yeah,
he said, there's your
prostate. He said, you're never going to get prostate cancer, Mr. Robinson. I said, how could you say that? He said, because there's no lesions on your prostate. Look at that. And I'm looking at it. It just looked like a piece of meat to me. But he went up in my bladder. He looked around, you know.
But tell the truth, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad did that hurt?
Virtually no pain. Uncomfortable. You got something sticking right up the pipe.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't, boy, this is good, but it wasn't painful.
So it's interesting, Dad. Let's take a break. So we talk a lot about one of our sponsors, Home Title Lock. They've been a longtime sponsor. And unfortunately, we need sponsors like this because apparently, Jace, there are people that will steal your home and you won't even know it. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
I don't know. That line popped in my head. Who is that said, don't you have homes?
That was some Caddyshack.
Oh.
That was Ted Knight when he came in. They were all playing cards. Don't you have homes?
So maybe, now.
Maybe they didn't.
30 years later, they're like, well, I did, but somebody stole it online.
That's right. Yeah. Cyber thieves, they go to a public database. They find high equity homes. They pull your online title. They forge your signature stating that you sold your home. Then they take out loans against your equity.
What's high equity homes?
Not yours, but
you're paying for it.
Yeah, that's it means you've paid for it. No, you've paid most of it off, and so you've got it's worth a lot.
I got you.
That's what they steal. But anyway, so the way we deal with these people is you go to HomeTitleLock.com to protect your most valuable asset. Register your address. Make sure you're not already a victim. You receive a complete title history of your home, which is worth $100, but you get that for free. So HomeTitleLock.com. Make sure you still own your home.
Right. Uncomfortable, hurting pain, searing pain.
No. So you did find out the exception, though, the rest of the story, the Paul Harvey rest of the story. If you get an E. coli in your bladder, you might want to take some antibiotics for that because that.
I didn't argue with him on that. But I'm
you
on my.
You also didn't take it for
I'm on my all fours
but you argued.
To take a leak. I'm crawling like a dog to the commode. I'm like, okay, I'm all.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, no antibiotics for me, but he said, oh, you'll be back. He told Miss Kay, he said, he'll be back.
Well, and you were.
Well, he told me.
A day later, I said.
Was that your first antibiotics?
In a long time,
pretty
probably.
Well. Yeah, maybe back through the years.
Because I didn't want people to follow your advice.
Well, I had to say.
Dead.
So all I can say is I'm 75. I have no aches and pains. And I'm just saying.
So I told.
I get the pristine.
Omega XL.
Omega XL. I take a little of that.
So, Dad, so I told Dr. Murphy, who's our urologist, I told him that I was not going to be a third generation not listen to what he said because. Paul was that way. You were that way. And I have a high pain threshold like y'all do. But I said, I don't want to get like Dad was on all fours. And so I went in and got my check because I had some issues. And I go to see him and he says, Dr. Murphy's doing surgery today. Do you mind seeing his physician's assistant? I said, well, no, that's fine by me. I don't care. Well, I go in and they said, okay, Ashley will be in to see you. And I went, Ashley? So the PA is a woman, which, you know, you go in to see this type of doctor. It's kind of embarrassing, you know, because you're having to just, you know, no dignity. And so, you know, she has to do the thing, you know, the test, the check. And she said, well, are you ready to do this? I said, nope. She said, well, I mean, would you rather wait and come back? Without? I said, no. I said, we're going to do it because that's why I'm here. I said, but you asked me, do I want to do this? No, this is a 27-year-old woman, and you're just having to bear all. That's not exactly put you in the best position. But, Jace, you'll be there in a little bit. It's coming.
Okay.
Prostate.
That's
a boogaroo there.
It's just genetics. Maybe you won't get it. Maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
One can dream.
Not worried about it.
Well, let's move from prostates to Matthew. We started last podcast talking about Matthew and kind of describing him as the author. And by the way.
And as the doctor, by the way. I mean, that the calling of Matthew, he made that statement. It's not the healthy who
knows. Oh, I didn't think about that. What a great segue, Jess. You're the king of the segues.
Well, I thought about it. Because I'm like, Jesus did a lot of healing. I mean, he did that. So ultimately, okay, get your checkups, do healthy things. But ultimately, we have an intimate relationship with a being who is able to control all that.
Which, you know,
so I'm not really worried. That's why I was saying, it's not something I'm going to stress out about.
We didn't get into that when you read that verse last time, but you're right. We would never go to the doctor if we weren't sick. Who would want to do that? Sit in a waiting room and
Look, I think that underlying principle of where they got started is one of the key principles in following Jesus. If you ever think you're good enough to do this,
yeah.
If you're puffed up with your righteous acts or whatever your position is or your theology, you don't want to ever be in that situation where you really don't see the need for Jesus.
Yeah, which is to Dad's point last time, is why a lot of times people with wealth and, you know, a lot of things
or
in
power.
This life or power, they don't feel like they don't need God. Like they are God.
Very rarely will you find in the Bible a reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us twice in all our troubles so that we can comfort those, that's three, in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves, if that's four, from God. Just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort, six. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort, seven. We are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance for the same sufferings we're going through. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just that for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you will share in our comfort. In the stretch of seven verses, comfort is mentioned nine times, which I know of no other place in the Bible something is that redundantly said. It's amazing. So I take that to heart and say, you know what? I'll put my trust in the God of comfort.
Yeah. Which, and it's interesting.
A lot of people, we talk about everything that we get from Jesus, but very rarely do we mention the fact, like Jay said, I came not for the sick, but for the...
I mean, not for the healthy, but the sick. Right?
Not the healthy, but for the sick. And if you look at that text right there, you say, man, that's quite the opening statement to the Corinthians.
Well, and I always use that text when I'm doing funerals a lot because, you know, that's a time. Smith told me that. He said, you know, Al, your role when you're asked to speak at someone's funeral, you know, your first and foremost role is to bring comfort because these people, you know, have lost someone they love. And even if you're a Christian, it still hurts to lose somebody because, you have a little separation. And that always stuck with me. So this text really spoke to me in that because that's a moment where you bring comfort. It's godly comfort.
I would say America and our people, countrywide, one of the things that's one of the most oft missed things is those few verses right there.
Yeah.
Because they're antsy about this and they're upset about that, and then they're nervous and they're depressed and they're taking medicine and they're trying everything to get some comfort out of life.
Yeah.
And the key to it, you come to Jesus. He's the God of comfort. So
well, and you know, we get a lot of notes from folks, and there's like, you know, I need to talk to y'all because my life is so bad. And I understand what they're saying because they listen to us on here, and we're talking about Jesus. But you don't need us; you need Jesus.
Yeah,
a conversation with us, all we're going to do is point you to Jesus, which is what we do on the podcast.
One of the listeners said, "What's the difference between joy and happiness?" And we just basically said, not much difference, but what they forget is to have joy and to be happy, you would have to be a person who was comfortable with being here.
Yeah.
No matter how brutal the world is around you, swirling around you, just keep your eye on the prize and just move forward.
What is it, Philippians
4? It'll pass.
Philippians 4 talks about contentment.
It'll pass,
I mean, that's how you get a lot of comfort. Paul said, I learned what it meant to be content in any and every circumstance.
And without realizing, if you don't have the compassion that God has given you, the contentment and the comfort elude you.
Yeah.
And you're living a life where everything is, you're all upset most of the time.
And isn't it interesting that the guy—
Think about the people who commit suicide because they just— couldn't find any comfort out of life.
The guy that wrote that passage, Dad, was under constant duress. Read his list of duress. I mean,
beaten, stone.
I mean, you talk about a rough life.
Oh.
In fact, Jesus said, do you remember when he was converted? He said, this man will know how much he will suffer for my name.
Yep.
And he did.
He sure did.
His whole life. And yet he talked about comfort and contentment. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
I mean, that shows you that's where you find it. One of the tough things about the pandemic is it's been really hard on small businesses, especially restaurants, people that cater to a lot of folks. Another problem with small business is human resources issues. Dad, you probably would know a lot about that because back when you started a business, you didn't have near what you have now to worry about. wrongful termination, minimum wage requirements, labor regulation. I mean, they've just regulated so much stuff.
We were immune to all that.
Exactly. So now you have to hire somebody to do that, and these guys are not cheap, 70 grand minimum. So there's a company that started called Bambee, B-A-M-B-E-E. And so what they do is they do an online HR manager. It only costs you $99 a month, which is a lot better than 70 grand, right? So they'll help you. It's month to month, no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. So you get a free HR audit if you go to Bambee.com/Robertson. Get that free audit and see if these guys can help you. Bambee.com/Robertson. Bambee.com/Robertson. So it's a good
point. Only Jesus gives you that.
Right.
You will not find it anywhere else.
Agreed.
The God of all comfort. Yeah. What a thought.
That's a great thought. So back to Matthew 1. Last time we introduced the genealogy, which most people would find this fairly boring, just a group of names. And, you know, this one begat that one. The old King James says begat. I remember seeing that, you know, when we were kids growing up. But it gives you the line. We talked a little bit last time, the significance of it. But one of the things we didn't mention that I wanted to mention before we moved on from this is that I think because Matthew was sort of was an outcast and yet was included, I think that's why he lists in this lineage the names of these women, which would have been very unusual to do that in a lineage of Jewish history, because they only looked at it from the male.
Are you starting?
How many women are in here?
So there's five.
Are you starting with Mary?
We can start with Mary. She's at the end of it, and
this is Joseph. But this is Joseph's.
Yeah, but then he mentions her. He says the husband of Mary. I mean, why would he even mention her? See what I'm saying?
But here's what true is the reason I believe the Bible. Verse 16. This is how he talked about all this on how Jesus got here. He's talking about how Jesus got here. So matter of factly. In other words, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Well, he doesn't say, now look, this is a wild story because what I'm fixing to say is going to blow the roof off the joint. Mm-hmm. He's saying, have you ever heard of it? No, none of that. He said, this is how it came about. He said, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, no sex, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. You're like, yeah, that makes sense. That's just to get him here. Matthew is speaking as if there's no doubt here how he got here.
Yeah.
This little virgin girl, Mary, was down there, you know, and she found herself to be pregnant. And Joseph said, whoa, what's the deal? And he goes through the deal.
Well, you see why, though, he chose Joseph, I mean, real quick. Because, I mean, what man would have responded this way?
Right.
Yeah.
To me, is incredible.
Like, honey, you're what?
She said, yeah, but he was a gentleman about
well,
it.
Well,
and that he was like, because you're assuming, this is before the dream, you're like, okay, your girlfriend is pregnant,
right,
and you haven't slept with her. I would say this is over at this point.
and again, just to your point last time, we were talking about, we know how all this happened because we read about it, the supernatural stuff. But in the moment, this was scandalous.
I'm not.
Nobody believed.
Scandalous.
Here's my point.
I'm out of here.
Here's my point.
I mean?
Yeah.
Because Jace is looking at it as most humans would read something that said, wait a minute. But he's presenting it like this is how it came about.
Because it did.
Well, I believe this is how it came about, but I'm just saying I see why God chose this couple. Because when it said he's righteous, didn't it say that somewhere about Joseph? It says, I think it does. He was, where is that? Where are we at here?
Okay. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public.
Yeah, that's what it says that he was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. So he had concluded what I would have concluded, that his girlfriend was messing around on him. But even that, I mean, just think how many guys out there in the world then or now, when this happens, would have not responded this way. I mean, he was still the better person for saying, you know what? Evidently, you haven't been faithful to me. But instead of going and railing on and going through the street saying this woman's a tramp and all, I'm just going to divorce her quietly, and I'm not going to expose her to public disgrace.
And let me mention that, because somebody will ask about it. Well, I thought they weren't married. How did they divorce? But the way the Jewish law worked at this time, when you were betrothed, which is sort of like we would say engaged, but it's way more.
It's like a year, I think.
Right. It's a legal binding. Like, in other words, they're not sleeping together. They're not consummated the marriage, but they're married by legal means. And so they're setting up. He's building the house, and, you know, they had this betrothal process. So this happens during that process. But you're right, Jace. I mean, he still was showed he was a good man in the sense that he didn't believe her. And who could?
Well, nobody would. That wasn't on him.
Right.
But he made it's like when people say, you know, life is 10% of what happens and 90% of how you respond to it. He took the godly, righteous approach throughout the whole situation. I mean, this is horrible. I would not have been that kind of man because of jealousy or rage or just whatever. If this happens, your betrayal, you've been betrayed. And he's like, because you got to remember, he hadn't had the dream. Now, once the dream happened and an angel explains this to him.
Oh, wait. What he finally came to realize was that he was in the, the Hall of Famers, whatever. But Mathon, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph. So without him knowing, this was just preordained.
Yeah.
And it's your time, Joseph.
That's right, because he was in the lineage of David.
That's my point.
And so he had to have
this was all worked out in advance.
Exactly. But he still had a choice to react the right way.
Sure. I think you got to remember last time we talked about Matthew being, what'd you call him, a bean counter? He analytical mind, because he was a tax collector.
Right.
So I think he purposely put in these details, because he's detail-oriented. But, you know, he also threw in Rahab up there in verse 5, which, wasn't she a prostitute?
Yep.
So I'm saying just her presence in this genealogy.
Well, look, every one of them. So it starts with Tamar, which she's a little-known woman from back in Genesis 38, and her deal was she was married to Jacob's son. No, was it Jacob or Judah? I'll have to look that up. But she was married to his son, and then
it was Jacob, what it says in verse 3 Judah. Of Matthew, Judah, the father of...
Right, it's Judah's son. So Tamar is married to the son, and he dies. And so the way the rules work back in those, she didn't have a child yet, didn't have a son.
Well, then you marry the brother.
So you married the brother.
Yeah.
So she marries the brother.
That's a horrible rule. I don't know who in the world.
I'm glad it's not around today.
God put it in there. You got to live with it, Jason.
Well, that's why he also sent Jesus to nail that thing up on the cross. That's why I don't have a legalistic bone in my body. I'm like, you want to follow law? I got to marry who? What? Why?
That's right. That's what Seinfeld has a bit. He said, that's why all the guys line up, and it starts with the best man. Anything happens to him, you start down the line. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to do that. So the second brother dies and still no son. So there's only one left. Well, Judah gets the idea that this old gal here must be a black widow, because all my sons are dying every time they get with her. So he does, though, he withholds the third son. He's like, no. And so she goes and dresses up like a prostitute and gets pregnant by him, by dad. And then comes back later and he says, oh, we got to kill this woman. She's pregnant. She isn't married. And she comes back and says, oh, by the way, here's what you gave me. You're the dad. So, I mean, again, scandalous. I mean, you don't give it. This is one of the 12
tribes.
What's
the guy who has a show about this stuff happening? I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like, well, this couldn't happen. I can't think of the guy's name. He takes like the worst situations. You know, my mom's sister is my you know, lover or whatever. What's the guy's name? He had the, every show.
Oh, you're talking about like Dr. Phil or Jerry Springer?
Yeah, Springer. Jerry Springer.
Hang on. Let's take a break. So one of the things I've noticed, Jace, is that not a lot of people cook. You know, we grew up cooking. I guess we learned it from mom and dad. You cook, I cook, our wives cook. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad, you know, we just never really ate out much.
Phyllis brought sticky chicken last night.
Oh, really?
Who cooked it?
My daughter. She cooked it. It's the first meal I've eaten. I've been very careful not to eat anybody's meal. So I gave her about a year before I said, all right, I'll try some of your
cooking. Did she do pretty good?
Yeah, she actually did. A little low on seasoning, but the baking process and all, sticky chicken, it was good.
That's good. So in a sense, Dad set up for one of our new sponsors, which is a group called MarleySpoon.com. And what they do is they've combined with Martha Stewart and Marley Spoon to make meals for people to buy. So it's a new menu of 30-plus delicious recipes every week. All the recipes have just 6 simple steps, 10 ingredients. So you actually do cook. They just send you all the stuff to put it together. It's kind of how it works. So they're teaching people to cook, which I think is a good thing. So if you're kind of tired of the same old, go to MarleySpoon.com for a variety of chef-designed dinners from Martha Stewart. And all of our listeners are going to get $100 off your first 4 orders if you use the code PHIL. So it's MarleySpoon.com. Use the code PHIL, save $100 on your first 4 orders, and learn how to cook.
I mean, when you start
researching
this, it's like something you would see on Jerry Springer, not the Bible.
That's my point.
We're in a genealogy, which reminds us all that we're all flawed people.
Well, you remember when Jerry Springer's show was, Dad, you remember it was popular?
There was a
big old bald-headed guy that stood up on the corner of the stage. He had to come out and separate because it always ended with a big brawl.
Well, they wanted him to do that.
Right.
They take a bunch of people that feel, unfortunately, you live, you know, down in an area where a lot of this stuff is happening. This is the pool for the Springer show.
You are
some
right.
Some people are like, oh, that could never happen.
Trust me,
it happened.
I counseled
yesterday
with them and tried to get them to follow Jesus. It's something.
So but look, a lot of these people you brought to the Lord and they break this genealogy cycle a lot of times that actually does something good. I mean, that's why these types of songs and ideas. I love that song, The Blessing, by Carrie.
It's not a situation where the perfect one, Jesus, committed no sin ever. It is worthy of note that his lineage, it wasn't that way.
Right.
Only when he arrived did you see the difference between him and all the rest of them to get him here.
Right.
Well, now, there were a few differences, though, in how he got here, which it said when he had the dream, it says the Holy Spirit in verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is quite a statement. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. This is the angel speaking to him in a dream. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, which I would have just thought, what does that mean? I mean, I'm reading it, and I know it happened, but I'm still...
There was some kind of, I don't know whether a transfer of sperm or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you made the human, made human being, if you made them, you could figure it out.
You pretty much know.
I think when the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters, we mentioned, I mean, there's something about the Spirit of God that is life.
By the way, Jesus.
It's like when he breathed.
Yeah. Well, if you could make the first person out of dust, you can definitely make a baby.
But I mean, there's a similarity. If you do a study in the Bible about breathing and the Holy Spirit, there's something life-giving.
That's true.
The Spirit is just contagious.
Here's my question.
Of life.
Here's my question. In the midst of looking at how the birth of Jesus came about, which is what we're talking about, when you look at this, I'm having to rack my brain to say a bunch of human beings sitting around under a tree this far back, all these genealogy, and these people are sitting around here, and here's a tax collector, and he's going to expound a little bit on how Jesus Christ came here. And he's speaking so matter-of-factly. The question I have is, how in the world, Jace, could you have a group of individuals this far back, low-tech world, to come up with this story and the details at which are given? You're like, how could they have gotten together and told this lie? I mean, just think about it.
Yeah. Well, and
what it would take to dream up this story.
Right. Not only that, is Matthew, when you're reading the history books after this, gave his life rather than deny Jesus as the Christ.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if it was just a big, let's just come up with some story, which is what the world says about this. They're like, oh, you people created this because you're weak people that need some kind of hope and a crutch or whatever.
We couldn't, like, even though you're a sinful person, how you could dream up this story.
So I got another little known fact. This is a fun fact, Dad. So two of the other women, Rahab, which we mentioned, she was a prostitute that saved the spies of Jericho, and Ruth, who then was in that same lineage after her, you know, who was a great woman, you know, Ruth's story. She's got a book in the Bible. Those two women were descendants of Ammon and Moab. You say, well, what does that have to do with anything? That's the two. You remember when Lot, after the destruction, when he slept with his daughters?
Yeah.
And that produced two children?
Yeah.
And God said they were an accursed people, don't have anything to do with them because it was—
Two great nations.
Two great nations, but he said, he told Israel, don't have anything to do with them. Guess where these two women, guess where their heritage was? Ammon and Moab. Ruth was a Moabite, and Rahab was an Ammonite.
Night.
So, I mean, once again, it's just like, it's so scandal-ridden, like, from people that, but I think the reason Matthew did it is because to say anybody can do this. I mean, we're looking at the lineage of Jesus and we're seeing.
But people, he also said.
In fact, he's basically saying there's nothing you could do if you come to Jesus by faith. You can be ushered on in.
That's right. The other one we haven't mentioned is Bathsheba. And obviously, she, you know, David had an affair with her.
Yeah.
And murdered her husband.
Yeah.
And she wound up being the mother of Solomon. But again, another terrible, you know, situation that gets her in the lineage, and yet there she is.
It does throw cold water on the people who come out and say, you know, it's just a crutch. It, you know, following Jesus is a crutch and all that. If you see these people's lives and what eventually happened by looking at them and studying them and putting it all together, you're like, Lord, this has to be true. How could you dream?
But he also, you got to think the reason I think he's going back 14 generations, this was God's plan.
Yeah.
And all throughout the generations, you've got more sinful than others, but all have sinned.
That's right.
So
that's pretty clear.
Three times he does make a reference here about this is bigger than just a birth, because you have the name of Jesus, which means, you know, the Jewish Joshua, which means the Lord saves.
And Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, which is, you know, his nickname is God is with us. So all of a sudden, and you have a human being who is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, who's never been with a man.
Which, by the way.
Physical man. So I'm saying that he's accentuating that the supernatural has happened.
Yeah. So let's take our last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated, so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
And also, Jace, that little virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, they will call him Emmanuel, was foretold 700 years earlier by Isaiah. So the old deal
so
about...
So you have a history and a prophetic... Right. But he also said
think
this,
think about
Al,
the fulfillment that far back.
700 years.
But think of 21 when he said, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. But he also says, because he will save his people from their sins. So, yeah, we got this genealogy here. There was a lot of sinful activity. But we're here now. And we're in a moment in our the history of the humanity of where for the first time there's a human being born that his parents didn't have sexual relations or however you want to say
it. To have him.
And you know what I find fascinating about Joseph in this is because even in 24, when it says, because why would the Bible put this in here? This is one of those moments. Why does it even put it in here? Because I think it goes to his character. Because it gives you the impression when Joseph woke up from this dream, he did what the angel of the Lord said, had commanded him, which is another character trait. Because, look, I've had a lot of dreams and woke up and thought, I don't know about that.
Which is why we have a Jace's moments.
So he took Mary home as wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Why even put that in there? Because I think he could have. Now, a lot of religious, I think people on the fringes of religion, they're get into this debate whether you're supposed to be able to have sex with your wife when she's pregnant based on that, which.
Oh, no, I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Kooky people come up with kooky, you know, now I think it's that. Hey, they got the right to believe whatever they want.
I think it's just a respect thing. Like
that's what I thought. Yeah. I thought even he had. Now, I mean, this whole thing was thrown up on him. Now, obviously, he's had an inside conversation, and so he's like, oh.
So he gets it.
Which he's like, I'm part of, not only is there a God and he's real, but we're fixed to change the world.
Yeah.
But he put that supernatural fact above his natural impulses, which I've used this as an example where people just think, well, I can't do it. You know, whether it's a couple that are living together that are not married and they ask my opinion and I'll go there. I'm like, you've got to put the supernatural above the natural. Now he was directly involved, but even us in your life, you want to change your life. It's going to happen with the same thing. You know, when we pray and we believe this is real, we're having conversations with God and we believe Jesus is inside of us and you're looking at a woman and she's a daughter of God and you're supposed to help her get to heaven. These are the same conclusions you got to make for your life to make better decisions on putting the supernatural above the natural. You know, I mean, you could preach a sermon on this right here, but there's a way to stop, you know, making bad decisions. And this is it. This is the recipe. And that's why I think why God chose
Joseph. But you know what's interesting? What's interesting, Jace, is Joseph, we assume since we don't read about him, in Jesus' ministry in the Gospels, we assume that he died, you know, because you read about Mary and the brothers, you know, but we don't read about Joseph. So we assume at some point he probably died in there before Jesus got to 30. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is, so Joseph knew, and there's no doubt he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, he shows you. Mary knows because she knows she didn't have sex and she had the baby. But then his siblings didn't believe in him.
No.
Because we read that they thought he was a famous person, you know. Remember that one time in John where they said, you know, if you're going to be a public figure, you got to blah blah blah. They just saw him as like managing his career, but they didn't really
believe. Talking about John 7:5 where he said even his own brothers didn't believe.
Well, that and the fact and the one where he said it was right along in there when he was supposed to go to a feast. And they said, you got to go make yourself known. If you're going to be a public figure, you got to get out there and press the play.
I think that's the same chapter.
Yeah,
it is. Seven. But
they were trying to manage him. Like, it was like, they didn't really believe he was the Son of God.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you think they were, I'm saying they had to grow up in this home where Mary and Joseph told him who he was, but they didn't believe him.
Didn't believe him.
I mean, that's interesting to
it's not easy to believe.
It's not.
Well, because I think he became a human. I think they looked at him and thought, well, he puts his pants on just like
and
that.
And he was
did.
Running around He's and running around building stuff.
Like he's a kid. Yeah. There's no way. It can't happen. You're telling me that, oh, you're God? Now, I tell you this.
In fact, they probably were jealous of it.
Something changed, though, post-resurrection, because you notice who was in the room in Acts 1:14? Yep. His brothers, the same ones that didn't believe
when
in John
then James,
7.
James.
They all gathered up then.
Well, then all of a sudden said, well, maybe he is.
And the guy
you start coming back from the dead? Okay, I was wrong.
It's a good sign.
The guy who wrote the book of James was Jesus' brother, and he was also one of the probably like the main leader of the Jerusalem church. You read about him in Acts 12. And so this guy, his brother, wound up being one of the main pillars of the Jerusalem church. So you're right. They got it, but they had to get it post-resurrection. But I thought it was interesting because we were talking about this idea of physical and spiritual. Remember we started out the book of Romans. Paul said, a servant of Christ Jesus called to be an apostle set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, which we talked about that fulfillment, regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, which was the point of Matthew 1,
and who
through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God.
Yep.
So that's that idea of the physical coming together with the spirit of God to be Jesus Christ. Yep. The only God human hybrid there ever was or ever will be. Yep.
But think about it. What did we need between humans and God because of sin? We needed a bridge. We needed a representative of both, and that's what happened. That's why I love
we
that.
Needed the ultimate sacrifice.
I love that Romans 9:5. But I use the word bridge on purpose because I think when we think of all the things you could talk about with people or classes you could teach or the things you get into, Jesus has got to be at the top of the list because that is the bridge. We just read it.
Right.
I mean, he's the Holy Spirit and humanity in one. And that Romans 9:5, which I've read many times because I just love the wording, because we just read the genealogy of Matthew 1. And Paul referred to this. He said, theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ. We just read one side of it, and you read the other one in Luke about Mary.
Yep.
Of Christ, who is God over all, forever praised. I mean, what kind of statement is that?
Yeah.
You can trace the human ancestry of this Jesus fella, who is God. Overall, forever praise.
Yeah, and a lot of people struggle, or a lot of our listeners struggle with the idea of how he could be both, but you just have to understand that is the deal, that he is both. That makes it all possible. You can't have Jesus God without Jesus the man. He had to be both. That's why he said, I'm the son of God and the son of man. I'm both.
That's why I'm saying, nobody in any generation could have dreamed this up.
No, yeah. I agree.
You keep reading the First Peter. Where's that? He says, we didn't follow cleverly invented stories. Exactly. We were eyewitnesses, like the light shine, like a light bulb shining.
1 John 1, we've seen him, we've heard him, we've touched him, we've rode with him.
Yeah.
He said, look, this is the one.
That's right.
Well, he was calling it though in John 1. He went from
that,
him
which
to
was
it.
That. Call him a that.
So it's interesting, and I'll tease this for next time because we're almost out of time. When y'all pick up in Matthew 2, I won't be here next week with Zach, but when you pick up in chapter 2, it's interesting that as soon as we get Jesus here, the politics begin. Because King Herod hears about this, and so y'all will get into that.
But, and the persecution.
So think about it. The Son of God is born. He's a little baby. And he's God, but the first thing he has to do is get on the run because they're trying to kill him.
And a politician has an idea. Oh, I hear a rumor that God is being born.
So let's just kill them all.
Let's kill all the babies.
That was the idea. You talk about brutal.
Give me a narrative by which we can do this. And I could theoretically imagine somebody said, well, it's not really a baby till it's born.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. And then it's not really a child until they're
right up to the point of their bore.
You know, you see what I mean? That's how we come up with ways to dehumanize when we have some kind of agenda. Right. And
by the way, that's been going on for thousands of years.
There's a word for that. It's called evil.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. We're out of time.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.